Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, The Power of the Word of God Over Soul Murder. I'm going to be reading from a book entitled Soul Murder, The Effects of Childhood Abuse and Deprivation. The author is Leonard Shingold, MD. And this book is a few years old, but it is also very contemporary. The copy that I have in my hand was published in 1989 by Yale University. Dr. Shingo is a psychiatrist. And in this very poignant and very important book, he discusses what soul murder is. And it is very interesting to me that this book captures what I want to convey to this audience about society today, such as it is, the contained reality of today, such as it is. The planned and executed mediocrity that we see abroad today is not by accident. It has been chosen, it has been well thought out, it has been planned. And in chapter 2 of Soul Murder, Dr. Shingold writes, this is chapter 2, the first paragraph, Soul or psychic murder involves trauma imposed from the world outside the mind that is so overwhelming that the mental apparatus is flooded with feeling. The same overstimulated state can result as a reaction to great deprivation. The terrifying too muchness requires massive and mind-distorting defensive operations for the child to continue to think and feel and live. The child's sense of identity, that is, the emotional maintenance, while the mental images of his or herself is threatened. Our identity depends initially on good parental care and good parental caring on the transmitted feeling that it is good that we are there. So he goes on, and he talks about the purpose of soul murder. Don Shingle admits that he took the title soul murder from the writing of another individual. He talks about Ibsen and Strindberg, and he also writes that Ibsen and Strindberg wrote mainly about the destruction of the souls of adults within the arena of the family, the familiar territory of this psychological therapist. The capacity to destroy a soul hinges entirely on having another human being in one's power. And this confrontation of the powerful and the helplessly dependent is inherent in childhood, because this conflict is inevitable no matter what efforts we make to minimize effects. Institutionalized soul murder, too, like individual soul murder, has always been with us and always will be. Human history is as full of instances of psychic murder as it is of physical murder. The totalitarian soul murder of our recent past is described in books like Kessler's Darkness at Noon and Orwell's 1984. Well, Dr. Shingle gives a history of the term soul murder. And at another part of the book, he writes, erasing history by cultivating denial is essential for the brainwashing that is an inevitable part of psychic murder, resulting all too often in what Nietzsche called the worst form of slavery, that of a slave who has lost the knowledge of being a slave. I'm not to that statement again. Erasing history by cultivating denial is essential to the brainwashing that is an inevitable part of psychic murder, resulting all too often in what Nietzsche called the worst form of slavery, that of a slave who has lost the knowledge of being a slave. No one has documented this better than George Orwell in 1984. It is imperative that we understand what is going on today and why it seems that individuals find themselves cut off from themselves. That Shingle also makes this statement. The form of soul takes chronic and repetitive abuse. Nietzsche's all-too-human confession and accusation takes on sinister connotations only if we transpose it into a statement by a soul murderer, for the victim's assumption some form of the middle factor's non-registration of what has happened is essential to the brainwashing that sustains soul murder. Another very important term for our discussion is gaslighting. Please look that term up. please look up gaslighting. There's an old movie with Charles Boyer and Ingrid Bergman called Gaslight. Watch the movie. Let me go on. The denying parent transmits denial to the child. Brainwashing is inherent in psychic murder. That is what makes the difficult but crucial ability to differentiate between fantasy and reality a burning issue for each individual who has been subject to overwhelming trauma. I want you to know the importance of trauma and how trauma or tamaha can be used as a point of entrance into an individual's life in order to manipulate the individual. And so I want to read this other statement to you. Dr. Shingle writes, soul murder is neither a diagnosis nor a condition. Soul murder is neither a diagnosis nor a condition. It is a dramatic term for circumstances that eventuate a crime. The deliberate attempt to eradicate or compromise separate identities of another person. The victims of soul murder remain in large part possessed by another, their souls in bondage to someone else. Thus, Winston Smith, at the end of 1984, loves the big brother who has taken over his mind. Torture and deprivation under conditions of complete dependency have elicited a terrible and terrifying combination of helplessness and rage, unbearable feelings that must be suppressed for the victim to survive. Brainwashing makes it possible to suppress what has happened and the terrible feelings evoked by the erased or discontinued experience. When it is necessary to retreat from feeling, good feelings as well as bad ones are compromised, and the victim's deepest feelings are invested primarily in the soul murderer, as Big Brother dominates the emotional universe of Winston Smith. Notice the term emotional universe. Therefore, murdering someone's soul means depriving the victim of the ability to feel joy and love as a separate person. In 1984, O'Brien says to Winston Smith, "You will be hollow. We will squeeze you empty, and then we shall feel you ourselves." Emotional deprivation, physical and mental torture can eventuate in soul murder. Another term that Dr. Shingle introduces in this very important book is the term double think. And double think is about reality control. This statement occurs in the book too. Who controls the past? Ran the park slogan. Who controls the future? Who controls the present? Controls the past. And yet the past, though of its nature alterable, never had been altered. Whatever was true now was true from everlasting to everlasting. It was quite simple. All that was needed was a series of victories over your own memory. Reality control. They called it double think. Reality control. They called it double think. So we see that soul murder is the successful manipulation or the successful seduction of an individual or rules through plans, trauma, in order to cut persons off from themselves, in which the helpless, dependent, or dependents are at the manipulated mercy of the powerful. We live in a time of such a reality. We live in this time of soul murder. We live in this time of double thinking. Child abuse, Dr. Shingle, is the abuse of power. We do not have a coherent psychology of power, much as I know. Soul murder is as old as human history, as old as the abuse of the helpless by the powerful in any group, which means as old as the family. But soul murder has a particular resonance with the 20th century, with the world of Orwell's 1984, and a particular relevance to it. In the book of Isaiah, in the book of Ezekiel, there are some very important words that the inspired prophet has for us. And in chapter 22, Ezekiel, at verse 30, there are these words. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. In chapter 13, God also has a reference to the wall, or the metaphor of the wall. In chapter 13, this is what what God states through the prophet Ezekiel. And he is talking about the false prophets, about the leaders of the people. In verse 4, your prophets, it is speaking of the false prophets, the false teachers. Your prophets, O Israel, are like jackals among the ruins. You have not gone up to the breaks in the wall to repair it for the house of Israel so that it will stand firm in the battle on the day of the Lord. Their visions are false, and their divination a lie. They say, the Lord declares, when the Lord has not noticed the self-deception, the complete and utter self-deception of the false prophets. Verse 7, have you not seen false visions and uttered lying divinations when you say, the Lord declares, though I have not spoken? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, because of your false words and lying divinations and lying visions, I should say, I am against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and other lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people, nor be listed in the records of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord, because lead my people astray, saying peace. And there is no peace, and because when a flimsy wall is built, they cover it over with whitewash. That word in Hebrew is plaster. Not merely whitewash, but plaster. Therefore, tell those who cover it with plaster, with whitewash, that it is going to fall. Rain will come in torrents, and I will send hailstones, hurling down violent wind. Verse 4. When the wall collapses, will people not ask you for plaster? It covered it. Plastering done by the false prophets is of course a figurative description of deceitful flattery or hypocrisy. In other words, it is the covering up of inward corruption by means of outward appearance so that people can be manipulated. This is a biblical example or example from the biblical document of planned and systematic soul murder. Verse 15, so I will bend my wrath against the wall and against those who covered it with plaster. I will say to you, the wall is gone, and so are those who plastered it. That is, the facade of the wall speaks of the facade, spiritual facade of those who were over the people, and to manipulate and to lead them astray. Their spiritual ruin of the people, the failure to call the people to repentance, the failure to call the people back to God so that God would heal their wounds, so that God would bind up their wounds, so that God would pour in oil in order to heal that which was wasting away. In Ezekiel 37, we have what has been called the Valley of Dry Bones. The prophet writes, that is Ezekiel, the true prophet, in verse 1, he states, so The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone." And he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' And what is the sovereign Lord? This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath into you, and you will come to life." Please note the incredible concrete imagery. "I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, skin covered them, but there was no breath. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the breath." Ruach in Hebrew. "Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says: Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live.'" So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breathed into them. They came to life and stood upon their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Those who practice soul murder want the same thing. They want individuals to be cut off from themselves in order to manipulate them for nefarious ends." Notice they say, "Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off." Verse 11. In the Hebrew, verse 11 reads this way: "We are cut off to ourselves." Dry bones symbolize no hope. Dry bones symbolize being prisoners of despair. The Word of God teaches that the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. That is the mission, and that continues to be the mission of the redemptive mission of Jesus Christ. That is why he came, to set the captives free. He knew and he met during his public ministry those who had been destroyed by trauma, by ruin. The Son of Man has come to life in superabundance. Please get to know the living God through Jesus Christ. My name is Marcus Osiris. Have a great day.